Hi, I'm Janice Cruz, and this is the Self-Love Science Podcast. Today, I want to talk about healing. So all of the things that I learned happened for me while I was on what I call my healing journey. So I got a breast cancer diagnosis, and this sent me off into this world of trying to understand how to be well. I took an integrative approach to healing. I chose to do conventional medicine, chemo, surgery, radiation. I use the word choose very loosely there. And I also chose to integrate a bunch of holistic practices, cleaning up the foods that I ate. And because I was going down this holistic path, I learned a lot about different healing modalities. So I want to preface this by saying that I was already in very deep into the realm of self-development. I started self-development in January of 2013. That was my first time attending a self-development event. And from there, it was like immediately what I was most passionate about in life, like moving from this realm of just being who I was and it feeling like a permanent state to learning that I had been the one to create my model of reality, and everything that I thought about how the world worked was just based on what I believed to be true, what I was learning, what I was putting forward in practice every single day. So I'd had, at that point, like 6 years of self-development under my belt. And I did, you know, read the books, attended a lot of workshops, put it into practice, like really enjoyed it so much. I spent a lot of time learning about how to build resilience and changing the mindset. So I understood everything very conceptually up until that point. And then diving into this realm of like critical illness, I had this massive, exceptional, really incredible, amazing experience of growth. And it happened in an incubator. Like I was put under pressure, like forced to move forward. The pace was accelerated. The veracity of learning was accelerated. The actions that I were taking were accelerated. My emotional state was amplified. Everything happened like getting a like supersonic boost for the world of growth. I think that that's why you do see people who go through these extreme experiences end up coming out extremely resilient and extremely happy. You know, you'll see people with near-death experiences or lose a limb or go through critical illness, and all of a sudden they come out these really, really happy people. And I think the idea of this extremely happy person who went through some sort of life-altering experience has become somewhat of a cliche, because I don't think people are really deep diving into what's going on with that person. So I learned this concept about self-love. I was looking for ways to heal everything. So yes, I knew my body needed to heal. So that's where I started. I started by learning about the foods that I was eating, the ways that my body functions, the way that food affects my body and my emotional state. I'd already had some experience in that from before. I actually saw the benefits of keto on a bipolar person in my life. And, you know, I don't know, I haven't read much literature about what people feel when it relates to that. I just know what I witnessed without context for it, like changing someone's life. So it's not about keto specifically. It's just about the way that food affects our emotional state. And when your gut is weighed down, it's kind of throwing off all the signals that your body has to work off of. So there was the physical healing, right? I knew that like chemo was going to be brutal. I was terrified of it. I delayed it, and I was just not looking forward to losing my hair, keeping it real with you. I wonder how many women have that thought of, it's not even like the chemo part that's scary. It's the losing all my hair and being this bald self. But then that moves you into this realm of what is it that you can learn about identity. So then that comes to the place of healing the mirror image that you have about yourself, because there is the expression you have in the world and the identity that you build around it. And the actions that you take are so deeply woven into what you look like, how you feel about the way that you look, or how you feel about your expression of self. And when it is taken away from you, when you don't get the choice to make the decision, it's so different from like, I decide to shave my hair off, you know, and go rogue and I want to try something different, or like, fuck expression of hair, I'm just going to shave it off and prove that it doesn't mean shit. It is different when it is not your choice and it is taken from you. And fuck anyone who says, oh, but chemo's saving your life and that's all you have to deal with. No, no, it was horrible. And I had to heal from that. And then I healed, I learned how to heal my heart. I had to go through emotional, like really analyzing the disturbances that were happening in my body. I learned that your emotional state affects the cortisol that's pumping, and cortisol is what will go into your system if you're in a state of danger. So your body kind of feels like it's always in danger if you're reliving emotional trauma. Healing my past, like alleviating the weight of shame and guilt of everything that I had done. I lived a very wild, crazy life for a few years. It's not always been the way. Like, I think I've always been really mild-mannered and reserved. And then, you know, starting in my later 20s, things just got really crazy for me. And it just led me down this path of really getting that this is not who I am. Like, I think that I stretched or strayed as far away from this like dope, amazing self as was humanly possible in my experience on earth. I healed relationships, and I healed my, most importantly, my relationship with myself, but relationships with family, with friends, with like people who I'd interacted with. So I want to like deep dive into some of these areas and talk about what I did, what were the practices that I put into place, and the before and after, what it felt like before I healed it and what it feels like now. So first, healing the body. I think food is just so important, and you have to be kind to yourself. If you're going and dealing with a critical illness situation, I think the first piece of advice you're going to get from your doctor is like, go home and eat whatever you want. But if you were to ask a nutritionist, somebody who is responsible for nutrition, they would say that's horrible advice. So this is coming from the place of what would you get from a nutritionist if you were talking about food as it relates to your body and the support that it does for helping you be well. I learned a lot of lessons about how food impacts my emotions. And this is based on trial and error. If I eat like a lot of wheat or dairy or sugar, I just feel weighed down and I get anxiety. I found myself more easily prone to a depressive state. Those foods are causing inflammation in my body. And so there's this feeling of malaise and general unwellness that comes with me eating that. And since I was on this extreme journey of trying to heal and trying everything that there was and doing a lot of research about some of the things that people had done and meeting people who were able to successfully heal from cancer and people who had these stories of radical, like inexplicable remission and defying the odds. And one of the diets that I tried was this, I tried an organic raw vegan diet. And I mean, it was like overnight. Like in a moment, I was like, I'm raw vegan. And I was really feeling called to that. I was utilizing my intuition, the signals that my body was sending me about how I felt when I was eating other foods and how I felt when I was just eating like this pure, clean vegetables. I did like a lot of juicing. I think I was drinking like 64 ounces of juice a day, like not like apple juice. I mean like kale. I did dandelion greens. I did spinach, cucumbers, celery, carrots, beets, ginger, turmeric, whatever was like on sale in the green section. I was just throwing it all in there. I was super hydrated. But the first significant change that I noticed with going on a raw vegan diet is so I've been allergic to animals my whole entire life, like cats and dogs, extreme allergies, like sneezing, itchy eyes, itchy skin. And if I went somewhere where people had pets and I like had an allergic reaction, it would take me like weeks to recover from it. You know, the sneezing would last a few days. The itchy skin would take forever because, like, you know, you're breaking out in a rash and that takes time to go back to normal. And it would be a significant period of time before I could like reset, and I'd had to be away from animals and all this stuff. And it's been like that my entire life. Like, oh, cats, just deathly allergic to cats. And I had this extreme hand washing habit that I built up because if I touched anything and then touched my face, I'd break out in hives. So one day I was staying with my parents. I moved back home during my healing journey. I just needed support. Like, I don't even know how anyone can go through that on their own. I don't know how anyone who has ever gone through treatment for any sort of critical illness, like especially cancer, how you do it on your own. If you are someone who has dealt with that, the power inside of you is just, and maybe you don't feel that way about it, but it's incredible. If you have survived that, if you somehow made it through, then you have strength that I could not ever understand. I had my family there, and my mom is like kind of like a cat lady. She, you know, feeds outside cats, and one of those outside cats, or like two of them, just sort of moved into her house. So now they're like in out cats. They just roll in whenever the hell they want. They go through the doggy door. Nobody invited them there. And she's got dogs. So every time I would go to my mom's house, I would wrap myself in a blanket so I wouldn't have any skin contact with her couch, because then I'd just like break out in a rash. And so I'm like sleeping, and one day I wake up and like literally I'm sleeping on a cat, like a pillow. My face was on this cat, and I got up and my first reaction was like, oh my gosh. And then I was like, wait a minute. And I realized, I was like, I've been here a few weeks. When is the last time I sneezed? And that's when I started paying attention to my allergy responses, and they were just gone. I was like, what the hell is happening? I had no more allergies. They were just permanently gone. And they're still gone to this day, actually. And it's been 2 years. So they do come back from time to time if I eat. Well, what I learned is it was the foods that I was eating that was causing allergies, not the animals at all. And specifically, it was wheat. So when I cut wheat out of my diet, I'm chilling. I can play with people's pets. I still like will wash my hands obsessively just out of like a lifetime of habit. But yeah, my allergies were gone. So that is why go home and eat whatever you want is terrible advice. Now, I am going to give this caveat as far as I did a lot of different diets and like lifestyles. It's not a diet. It was not about like losing weight by any means. It was about healing and overdosing on nutrients. So what I will say is that the stress of the fear of food is much more unhealthy for your body than is the food you're eating. That doesn't mean eat pizza every day. It just means that if like you're going into this kind of depression because it's been like 2 months, you haven't had a slice of pizza, and your family kind of eats a certain way, and you're like, this is my favorite food. I love the way it tastes. It's so good, blah, blah, blah. The joy that you get sometimes from, maybe it's an event, like I wouldn't just eat pizza if it's like a $5 Little Caesar, but if I go to a restaurant with my friends and we're out, I am having so much joy from that experience that I will eat a piece of pizza, and then I'm home and I eat healthy all the time here. So healing my body has just been so beneficial to me. I'm on a kind of a different round of healing right now. My stress levels were through the roof, and I sort of had some, you know, like disturbances in the condition and quality of my skin. I've always had really beautiful skin my whole life, and that kind of was disrupted for a little bit, and I just got right back on it. I have a smoothie. I do this like fulvic elixir tonic in the morning, and I made some adjustments to what I'm eating, and everything is being reset. So healing your body is only going to support whatever else it is that you're trying to heal. It's kind of foundational. You know, go for walks. I was walking every single day. At my weakest points, when I wasn't able to do anything else, I would just go walking around my parents' pool. During one of the things that I healed as a family is we all planned a surprise, like sweet 15 for my niece. And it took us several months to do it. My dad redid his whole backyard. He laid down new concrete, you know, put some new furniture out there. I was like doing all these decorations and stuff, and it came out amazing and beautiful. And my mom, my dad, and I all kind of like healed as a family together. Like we all had something to aim at together and to burn our energy together. And I'm really lucky because it was every time I was going out into the yard, I felt like I was at a resort. It was this beautiful space, and he's got, you know, all this really nice furniture back there. He bought me some lounge chairs to lay down on. And even at my weakest, I could go sit outside and I could do at least one little lap around the pool. And then on like days where I was feeling better, but maybe emotionally disrupted, I would just walk around that pool until I felt better. So like maybe I did 50 laps around the pool. Healing my heart. For me, I guess this is where I had the most damage. My heart was more damaged than my body was with cancer growing inside of it. In my experience in how I'd been disrupted so much emotionally had to do with relationships. 20 years of relationships where I just wasn't experiencing joy from them. So I say 20 years because I started dating when I was 15. Like I got my first boyfriend at 15. And up until, you know, this day, I've never had the experience of fidelity. And I'm going to talk about worldview next, but I want to share that in my experience of relationships, all I have ever learned about relationships is that men cheat on women and women stay no matter what. To just encapsulate it and put it in a nutshell, that is what it came down to. As I learned from the conversations people were having around me, from the relationships people were in, it was like men are just liars and cheaters and you just have to deal with it, you know? And as long as they're a good man and, you know, they provide for you or whatever. So for so many relationships, even though they were brutal to me, even though people were not kind to me or people couldn't love me because they weren't ready, they weren't healed, they had too much of their own shit going on to be able to love me the way I deserved, I would believe that I was conquering like a feat. I was winning by staying in these relationships. I was like, yes, even though this is horrible and even though something horrible just happened that I should move on from, I'm like, no, if I can make this work, then that means, you know, I'm doing something right. And it was like the measure marker of a successful relationship. How long can you stay in it? How much can you tolerate? How much can you deal with? And you know, that caused a lot of relationships to persist for a really long time, especially like I really do believe people attract what it is that they need for themselves in that moment in life. And I was very nurturing and very giving. And I learned this from like my dad. He's always like giving things away to the point that it drives us crazy. Like he has given, ask anyone in my family, he's about that. And he's like given something of yours away, like, oh, so-and-so could really use this bench. Here, take the bench. And you're like, whoa, that's my bench. Anyway, I learned to be very generous. And then I learned from my mom to like do everything, to care for, you know, the household. So that's a lot of what I was doing in relationships. And I was attracting people that had needs, people that needed something from me. So it worked really well. Like if people were kind of lost in the world, I was like, okay, cool. I can help you with that. You know, how can I be supportive and nurturing and loving and kind and do all these things? Obviously I wasn't super like I had the things that I was dealing with. I definitely had unresolved anger from building up and I definitely had an issue of feeling like I didn't want to look like a dumbass in relationships. So if relationships, I guess, didn't meet certain criteria or whatever the case was at that time, I would respond with like anger and be upset. There was a lot of passive aggression and a lot of like not confronting things head on, but just kind of tolerating it. And I was ingesting all the pain, like the pain of other people, the pain of not talking about stuff, the pain of going through it and not leaving and looking for healthier ways to live. So part of the healing process for that is, I think journaling is just so foundational. It's one of the most beautiful, basic, simple, free ways to heal. So I healed my heart next, right? Like I healed my body, then I healed my heart. Journaling. I wrote letters to like all of my ex-boyfriends, all of them. If any of my exes listen to this and you're wondering if I wrote a letter to you, yes. Yes, I did. All of you. And I just, it was really cool kind of looking back at what I felt about those people and in the time that I was with them. And then now as an adult, looking at them, some people I wrote really kind letters to. And even though people hurt me, I was just like, man, I really hope you're doing amazing in life. I believe in you. I believe in your talent. I think that you are meant for big things. One of my letters was like, hey, fuck you. And I was complete with that letter. It was perfect. It was like the thing that needed to be said to that person, you know? And I just, if people needed more than one letter, I would do that until I could write it without feeling anything but love, kindness, peace, and like wishing people well in life. I figured I forgave everyone for being broken at the time that they met me, meeting another broken person and us kind of harming each other in the ways that we did and maybe healing each other in other ways. Some people took a lot of letters. Some people got real phone calls, you know, and real interactions so that I could say what I needed to say. And there's something about the action of writing it down versus talking about it, because you can move so quickly through thoughts and you can say one thought and then justify it and then backtrack on it and then come back and say, well, maybe it wasn't so bad. And you'll run back and forth through hundreds of thoughts in a moment. Whereas writing slows you down so that you have to get things out and then you can feel the waves of emotion coming up as you're writing it. It is a physical experience. If you have anger towards someone and you write them a letter, the waves of anger are coming out. And I think of it like, and they're moving into my pen. The energy of that emotion is going into my pen and onto the paper. And maybe you need to rip the paper up. Maybe you need to burn it in a safe space outdoors. Please don't start fires in your home. Maybe you need to like rip it up, throw it in the trash can, whatever. But let the energy come out, come out, come out. I got to some really crazy darkness in there. I didn't know it was in there. I had some horrible, horrible emotions come up for me that I was just so ashamed of. And I was like, oh my God, like you felt this way about some people. And then eventually I kept writing letters. And my last letter to one person was like, man, I am so sorry that in your lifetime you experienced having to be in the room with someone who felt about you the way that I felt about you. And, you know, and then I asked that person for forgiveness in the letters. And I kept going. And it really does release the weight. Like you're relieving yourself of negative emotions. You're getting rid of the place that they hold, the valuable real estate that they have in your soul. In that practice, the advice that I give is when you're writing letters to people and you're just starting out, don't start with the most difficult conversation that you need to have. If somebody really, 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 really deeply hurt you in ways that take like maybe even a lifetime of healing practices, maybe don't start with them first, you know, like start with somebody that you could forgive easily. If you don't have anybody you could forgive easily, it could be like if the, you know, barista at Starbucks got your order wrong and gave you an attitude about it, like forgive that person first, you know, somebody that there's no weight to what you need to have in that interaction, that there's no weight about that interaction that holds any relevance. And then I healed. Then next, I healed my past self. This was my meditation visualization practice. I really got clear on who I used to be, and I forgave the self that made certain choices. I looked at that person. I remembered, this is the age I was. This is what I had learned in that moment. This is why I was making the types of decisions I was making. I did not love myself in those interactions. I didn't care about my future yet. I didn't even look at my future. I was so concerned with the past and like the present that it didn't matter to me if my future was going to be affected, or I never thought about who I would be in the future, you know, like that future self having to answer for my actions in the moment. And I looked back at some of the darkest things that had happened and the decisions that I made. Like I said, a lot of it involves relationships, and I forgave her. And I was like, you know what? You were a child. Like, how can I be mad at you for something you did at 22 years old when you were just a baby and you were in a toxic situation? You were in a harmful environment. You were stuck in this infinite loop with someone that there was no way to break it because nobody was healing. We were just throwing anger back and forth at each other. And I forgave myself for so many things. I did this in rapid fire succession. So that is why for me, the overall healing happened really fast in a really short period of time. I healed relationships with people, right? Like I had very difficult conversations, and my take on it was, if I'm going to meet my maker, I'm going with a clear conscience. I'm not going to find out what's on the other side and realize that there's like, that karma is real and that I'm going to have to do this again. I was like, whatever the hell it is that I'm supposed to learn in this life, I'm going to do it right now. I just adopted some beliefs about, right, like Louise Hay or whatever. I was like, this is how it works. Abraham Hicks. And those beliefs supported my healing. So when you go on into the world and you're pulling information, and I know that some of this like metaphysical world of healing, if you're not super into it, you might look at it like that's kind of woo-woo, that's a little far out there. Take it with a grain of salt and just say, okay, but the worldview that I have now isn't supporting my healing. So if I just added this practice in there, could it be beneficial to me? If so, like apply it to your life. One of the things that I know played such a critical role in the fact that I healed so deeply, the fact that I healed so much, the fact that I was able to do it so quickly, and that I landed on this amazing, profound self-love is because I accepted other people's models of reality. I went out into the world and I looked at people and said, perhaps you have something that I need that could be beneficial to my healing. So I didn't shut any piece of information down. I didn't shut anyone off. Now, I consider myself to be a very intelligent person. I have a high aptitude for learning. I consider myself an empath. I am very receptive to energy. Like I can read the room pretty well sometimes. I do have this little bit of like, I think everything is amazing and beautiful. But for certain, I am receptive to change. It's one of my favorite things. Like I said, I had already had so many years of growing. So I could go out in the world and if somebody said, you know how I healed my heart? Like I was this and this and this for 30 years and I hated everyone and I was a jerk. And you know what I did? I went out into the woods and I would just ground. I would just put my bare feet on the ground rather than saying, you're a weirdo. What that thought does, it shuts out the possibility of change and it keeps you confined in your existing model of reality. And the question I was like, well, how is that model working for you? You know, are you like the absolute best place you want to be? Are you super happy and well and healed and cool? You don't really need to add anything. But if you're not, and I was not, I was like, what's grounding? I would go and do research. I'm like, is there some sort of proof of this? And then I'd look for who's discussing this. What are people saying about it? I'd read through. I'd find a voice. I'm a fan of people who take a little bit more of a scientific approach, who can have some data that supports it that works really well for my brain. So that's the type of information I looked up, and I read about some guy that he had, like, he was like holding a live wire and he had put it out into the ground, and he had, you know, proved that we can ground with the earth, that electrical currents could be drawn from our body and placed back into earth. I don't have the super drawn out details of that, that I read, but it supported what I was trying to do. So then I took this practice into place. I would go out in the yard, take my shoes off, and put my feet on the ground. What is it going to hurt if you try something different? Like, these are low impact activities, but they're moving you forward. They're all forward momentum with the goal of healing. So even if something sounds out there and it's different and it's not what you're used to hearing, I never grew up hearing about this stuff. Do you think, like, I grew up in the ghetto and then we came out of Florida, but you know what didn't come out with us? The ghetto. We just brought it with us. And I grew on this family. Like, we didn't talk about healing. We never talked about, if I heard the word grounding, it was like, because my dad's an electrician, you know? We didn't have this language. I had to go out and learn it. And I just said, okay, well, I do want to heal. And I am going to accept that there are other people out there who have done something that I've not witnessed in my life. And, you know, I looked for the free stuff. So grounding was one method that I used. I did Reiki. I did acupuncture. I did meditation, visualization. I did yoga. I tried like some Tai Chi videos. I was in this little yoga hot box at some studio. Anyway, so I healed my relationships with people. And then I was healing my worldview. The worldview that I had was that, like, well, first of all, one of the worldviews that I remember most distinctly is that, like, if I'm in a relationship, the men are just cheaters, right? And I was in this, like holistic clinic, and there was this woman, and she said, you know, we're talking about relationships. And she said, I married the love of my life. Like, we both came from Hungary. We reconnected here in the United States and we got married. And she goes, my husband never stepped out on me. We loved each other so deeply. He is my soulmate and blah, 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 all this stuff. And my first thought was, oh, you just don't know about it. And I was already like so open and receptive, and I wanted different so bad that I said, and I told her that. I go, my brain just tried to shut you out because I needed to stay in this place. I needed to still be in this model of reality where relationships don't work. You know, and I was like, I have to do something different to produce a different result. And I said, I'm going to let that in. And I let her worldview into my reality. And I decided from there, like, I was going to look for happy, loving relationships so that I would know what they look like should I ever find myself in one. And, you know, in my like circle, I now have a few examples of healthy, loving relationships, of people who I can see, that for certain, this person is happy. I can see their happiness in the world. I can see their happiness in their relationship. I can see that the partnership is successful and makes sense. And I look to those relationships just for me to have the belief that a happy, healthy relationship is absolutely possible, that for me to be well in my life when the time comes for me to like enter a relationship, I'll have the tools that I need to recognize the signs that things could go well. And how things, you know, pan out after that, time will tell, and I will get experiential learning as it goes along. But that was there to break my worldview. You need to heal your worldview. Whatever it is that you believe about how the world works, if your life is not this like amazing, extreme, beautiful, happy life, and you keep getting proof that what you think about the world is true, that's the sign. If you find yourself in bad situations and you're like, see, it always goes like this, that is the sign that what needs healing is your worldview specifically. shift the model of reality and look for proof that other things are possible. If you believe that all jobs are shit, ask everybody you come across, do you love your job? Going to Starbucks, do you love your job? You walk across a construction worker, do you love your job? Are you happy here? Like, ask people, what do you do for a living? Do you love it? And when somebody says yes, if your brain goes, not possible, say, oh, that's my worldview trying to influence my decision making so that I stay in this same life. And if somebody says yes and it's not what you're normally used to hearing, ask them, like, what does it feel like to be happy at work? What is it you love about your job? It's not about the specifics of what they're referring to. It's about the experience of what it is to be happy. I had such a long part of my life where I was super unhappy at work. I hated my jobs. And in my self-development experience, I recognized there were no real handcuffs. I used to make the joke, I'm handcuffed to my desk. There are no handcuffs. That is a chain that you built in your mind. So I started proving that healing was possible. That's the question that I was answering. The big question is, like, what is self-love, right? And that's what I landed on. Everything that I was trying to answer to prove to be true, like prove that it was possible, you're always going to find proof of whatever it is you're looking for. Like, look at the way the internet works. When you look up any random piece of information, there is a world of things that are going to set you off down a path to prove that that thing is probably true. I was in a very healthy, on a very healthy journey, right? Like, this wasn't, let me prove that, you know, COVID is a conspiracy. No, I was on a journey of, like, is it possible to be happy? Is it possible to love my life? Is it possible to love myself? How? Prove it. What are the steps people can follow? What are the practices people can do? And I got all the questions answered, you know, and I was really happy with it. I was like, if I believe something that is false, but what results is extreme joy. If I believed that standing outside barefoot would remove electrical currents from my body, and I'm not like reaching for a live wire to prove it, I'm just like, I'm standing on the grass and I feel good. Okay, then keep it. If it doesn't fit, get rid of it, right? Healing, I'm going to get back to the healing of the emotions, like addressing people. When you've finished writing your letters to people, there are people in your life that you need to heal relationships with. One of my biggest passions in life, one of the most amazing things that I've witnessed in my experience, is people healing relationships with others, not just your romantic relationships, but your relationships with friends and family. I went to one event and the guy, he hadn't spoken to his dad in, like, I mean, no kidding, like 20 or 30 years. And it had to do with something his dad said to him when he was a child. You know, his mom had passed away and his dad was like, stop crying. And he made it mean that his dad wasn't letting him mourn the loss of his mother. So then when I think he had said it happened when he was like 15 or 16. He turned 18, bought a car, hit the road, never looked back. And holding on to that, like, he called his dad. They talked for hours, but he lost, you know, those 20 or 30 years of a relationship with someone over wanting to be right. I listen. So after so many years of being in rooms where people address those things and like confront these issues and heal and mend, I can tell you, I have heard every stupid ass reason that people, one of the reasons that I heard somebody had a breakdown in their relationship with someone, like a friendship, is this girl had borrowed a cooler from her friend and she lost the lid. And because she lost the lid, she was so embarrassed that she was dodging the girl's calls, and they were kind of like a newer friendship, whatever. So she was ignoring the girl's phone calls. Like, they could have had this really amazing, fun friendship, and it kind of like fizzled out now because of this. So she calls this girl and tells her the story. She goes, man, I like lost this cooler and I could have just bought you a new one. I just want to like make it right. That's why I haven't picked up your phone call. The girl's like, bro, I have it. So she was like dodging this girl for losing the lid to the cooler. She's like, oh my God, I got the cooler, but I lost the lid. And the girl's like, no, bro, I got the lid over here. That's how ridiculous it is. And I've heard people heal from wild, crazy stories, like whatever stupid thing you're pissed at someone about, especially like the parent relationships, you know, because parents, when their kids get old enough to stand up for themselves, or your kids get old enough to make decisions that you can no longer control, it gets challenging, right? Like, I bet, I mean, my kid is pretty small, but I'm sure when she's 18 and she's like, I'm moving to Bali, I'm like, no, you ain't. And if she says, yes, I am, I'm going to be like, oh, how dare you not be my toddler anymore. Sometimes the things you're fighting with people about is like the thing that connects you with them. When it comes to parent relationships, I've seen where the very thing that they're butting heads on, it's like you guys have that the same. It's the same part of each person's personality that's meeting in a room and it's like, forget this. Like, we're not going to do it. But don't give away time. You know, time is so valuable. The time that you get to have people in your life in whatever measure, like maybe you need to take your parent in doses, you know, or take your kid in moderation, create a system that works and like follow through with it so that you can still have peace about that. I think that that's part of landing on the last breath of your life and still feeling, you know, happy and peaceful. So what does it feel to be completely healed? So I feel like I am at an exceptional level of healed. I feel amazing. Now, I'm learning even now in some of the areas of my life that I'm like trying to dive into, and some of the things that are areas of importance to me that I'm trying to create like a meaningful experience in. I'm finding that I'm still coming from a place of I have more to learn about that, you know? I have more to understand about the self that shows up in the room when this thing is happening. And that's all right, because I'm already forgiving myself for the mistakes that I am making as they are happening. Like, as soon as something happens, I'm like, all right, girl, who's showing up here? Who's making this choice? What place is this coming from? Is this your happy, healed self, or is this like your scared small self from back in the day showing up? And I'm just like, it's all right, honey, we're doing okay. You know, forgive yourself in real time so that you can, you know, move forward. And, but the overall experience of my life is like, it is this extreme peace, this extreme joy, this extreme love. I look in the mirror every day and I'm just like, this is cool. I like this expression. I love the way I feel. I love the choices I'm making. I love the people I'm surrounded by. I have so many wonderful, like meaningful, happy relationships. I can no longer relate to brokenness in the same way. Now for me, it's conceptual. I can like listen to what people are dealing with, but I can't relate to it in the like trauma bonding sense that it used to come from. I was literally like 2 days ago, I was lying on my carpet and I was just like crying tears of actual joy, because I was like, oh my God, I made it. I landed in a place where I looked around in every corner of my mind for like disturbances in the force, and where's the unhappiness, where's the darkness, where's the pain, the suffering, the shame, the guilt, and it was nowhere to be found. I went from coming from this super low level emotion of just like shame and loathing and anger and sadness. Oh my God, the sadness was so deep. It ran the show. It was so consistent. It was so reliable, so stable. You know, you ever feel that? Like the consistency of your depression and your sadness and your loneliness and just feeling like this is all that there is. And now I'm like, the world is so beautiful and amazing that even if something's not working, today I had an experience of like just managing, organizing some parts of my life. And I felt that it was an experience I had so many times that normally would send me into like, oh, I hate this and life ain't shit and it's so horrible and it's always going to be miserable. And I was like, I couldn't even give it any weight. I was like, I can't. Life is too good. Once I'm done with this, I'm going to solve it. I'm going to go back to being happy. Like, I know there's always happiness in my future. That's what it is. It's a certainty that there's always happiness in the future. And practicing how to heal, you know, it takes work, but the work itself, like you're already in pain. You know what I mean? When you think about, I don't want to deal with this thing, but you're already in pain. So it's like, maybe it'll be painful in the moment, but on the other side, there's happiness. So if like staying here, there's misery on the other side of it, addressing it and healing it and really looking for how can I be well with this? Maybe some pain has to last a lifetime, right? Maybe some pain is just too intense where it's always going to be there. But you can still have peace in your life everywhere else. And maybe you just put it in a box, not with a lock on it, not shove it away, but like place it somewhere where you only look at it when you want to remind yourself of how strong you are or what you've overcome or something like that. Like you create the narrative around that. So just to kind of recap for healing your body, that's obviously your food. Like eat a vegetable. You know what I'm saying? Like how many people have to say it? How many different ways? Like eat something raw and eat it green. You know, drink a lot of water. Choose foods that make you feel good. For healing your heart, journaling is a really beautiful practice. Being out in nature, meditation, grounding, like I was talking about. Healing your past self, to me, that's kind of in meditation and in journaling. You can use both of those. You can write letters to your past self from your current self, or you can meditate and visualize being that self, and you can reenact the scene in a different way so that it would have gone the way you like. You could alleviate some of the stress of it. You can kind of trick your brain into thinking that it went differently. For healing relationships, that one is, if the person is still there, if they're accessible, a conversation is appropriate in many cases. Healing your worldview, you're going to have to let things in from the outside, other people's versions of reality. Listen to stuff like this podcast. In my world, I went from self-loathing to self-love, and it's extreme, like extreme self-loathing to extreme self-love, and I'm so happy and grateful to be me every single day. If you're not sure if what I'm saying is going to work for you, then just say, well, at least it worked for one person, right? Which is myself. So what is it that you can learn from that? Yeah, be kind to yourself. That's what I got for you for today. Be kind to yourself. Put yourself first, especially if you're someone who's never done that before. Find a way to be in nature, to experience something beautiful, experience nature and experience the beauty in people. And that's all I got for you. So I hope all of your dreams come true. Thanks for listening to Self-Love Science Podcast.